And we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 through 17. Survival tips in a culture that's getting worse and worse. Does anybody think it's getting better?
No.
Is America going to be great again?
No.
We don't know. We'll find out today, won't we? We'll stand for reading of the Word of God. We honor God by standing when we read His Word. Verses 10 through 17. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, and afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. Now, remember what Timothy's world was like. Was it a happy world? Was it gingerbread cookies? And no, it was a narrow world. It was an awful world. It was a dangerous world. It was a scary world. It was unsettling. And I'll tell you, Timothy's world was changing right before his eyes. Sound familiar? Changing right before our eyes. The theme of 2 Timothy, for the rest of your life, remember this. Hold fast. Preach the word. Be strong. Okay, let's say it together. Hold fast. Preach the word. Be strong. All right, good job. Way to be. You guys are great. Okay. Now, the problem that Timothy was facing as we've gone over this week after week in our review was false teachers. False teachers then, false teachers through the epochs of time. They came into the church very early, and the false teachers are here today. Okay? So false teachers with a false gospel introducing a false Christ, which has to result in a false faith. If the root is false, the fruit will be false. Okay? Now, what do people need in this world of deception? Well, they need truth teachers. Someone that's going to teach the truth of the Word of God. A true gospel introducing the true Christ, resulting in a true faith. If you have a true root, then you will have true fruit. Okay? Now remember, many profess Christ, but few possess Christ. There's a big difference between someone saying, I know Jesus, and Jesus knowing them. Remember Matthew chapter 7, when he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Be sure that you know Jesus, and he knows you, that you're genuine. Many profess, but few possess. Titus 1:16 says this, that they profess to know God, in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Disapproved, rejected, castaways, having an abominable mind. Adokimos, disapproved for every good work. Now last week, we talked about the last days and what we can expect in the last days. And we covered a few things. There'll be perilous times and folks are going to be perilous people, perilous men walking the earth. Now the perilous times are going to be evident. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places, calamity all around us. The love of many will grow cold. Now this awful time is going to be filled with awful people. So you're going to have perilous times and there will be perilous men. In verses 2 through 5, we saw this last time, that they're going to be proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. And it has a whole list of things culminating in having a form of godliness but denying its power. You know what that is? That is religion without relationship. Religion without relationship. People are spiritual but have no spirit. You ever talk to people and say, I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. They have no spirit. They have the truth of the Spirit of God residing in them. And notice the strong admonition in verse 5, after having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, and from such people turn away. Don't give them your ear. Don't listen to what they're saying. Don't hang out with them. When you see ungodly character like was listed in those verses, proud, disobedient, slanderers, without self-control, traitors, headstrong, turn away. Don't allow them to influence you. Now, you have a responsibility to influence them. You bring them into your world, but you do not take a foray into their world. Okay? That is a very important concept. Remember, the righteous should choose their friends carefully, for the way of the wicked will lead them astray. So we have to impact the world, but not be impacted by the world. We want to help these people have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, but we don't want to be caught up in their lifestyle in the process of doing that. Okay? So in the last days, we can expect corrupt teachers, corrupt churches, corrupt messages, producing corrupt fruit, resulting in verse 8 last week, disapproved concerning the faith, not genuine, not really born again of the Spirit. Now this week, we're going to see a huge contrast between the folks last week and the and what Paul is telling Timothy he needs to emulate, he needs to be like. The true believers and the true Word of God versus the false from last week. These are going to be survival tips in a culture that is getting worse and worse. Now, do we need this? Survival tips in a culture that's getting worse and worse. After the election, it's not going to get better and better. I don't care who gets in there. Look at these people. Is there any possibility that it'll get better and better? It is not. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us to study the Word of God, the truth in a culture that is devoid of truth, running from truth, doesn't want truth. Thank you that you've given us principles for life, the truth of your Word. These are the things that we can stand on. These are the things that we can die for, God, because this is your truth given to your people. Open our spiritual eyes, our ears, our hearts, to what you have for us today. Holy Spirit, please speak to each one of us. We need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, survival tips in a culture that's getting worse and worse. John MacArthur has this to say. The church today faces times of unparalleled difficulty and danger. Do you agree? Yeah, I think so. As extraordinary opportunities for spreading the gospel increases with speed, attacks on the church are also increasing with great speed. He said heresy, now remember, heresy is something that is not orthodox, that is not the teaching that Jesus taught or the disciples taught, and apostasy, or falling away from the faith. This will be common in the church. Heresy, apostasy, self-will, and their accompanying moral decadence are engulfing the evangelical church. Like cancer cells that rebel against the body, these evils are in rebellion against God, by corrupting and weakening the church, the body of Christ. Now, this is what we are seeing today throughout America. This is what we're seeing. We are immersed, folks, in a culture that is dying. In a culture that is dying. And this dying culture is affecting the church more than the church is affecting the culture. You see that, okay? So, what is a follower of Christ to do? Now, we are Christ followers. What are we to do in this place that God has placed us in? He's placed us here for such a time, okay? Let us hear Paul's instructions to Timothy, and I think to us today, and how to survive in this worse and worse culture. He's going to give us survival tips. Survival tip number one. Survival tip number one, follow a godly example. Folks, our conduct matters. How we conduct ourselves in this world as Christians matters. People need to follow those who are true followers of Christ. Follow a godly example. This is going to be verse 10, 14, and 15. Verse 10, but you, Timothy, this is in contrast to all these bad things that happened in verses 1 through 9. But you, Timothy, have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, conduct of Paul, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Verse 14, but you, Timothy, must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Timothy, you've learned them from me. The Spirit of God gave it to me, and I gave it to you. And that from childhood, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Now, what makes you wise for salvation in that sentence? The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures, not slick marketing, not Peter Drucker principles on how to build the church. It's the Holy Scriptures that are making you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, after 9 verses of what corrupt men look like, he says, but you, Timothy. And I think that's for us too. But you, Calvary Chapel, Battle Creek. But you, church in America. But you, church in this whole world. But you, listen to what Paul has to say here through the inspiration of Spirit. You are called to conduct yourself differently than the culture. You are called to conduct yourself different from the culture. You are called to impact the culture and not be impacted by the culture. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We don't go hide in caves. We're not monks and withdraw. Guess what? You think monks sin? You bet they sin. You cannot escape this. You can go in any cave you want. You can withdraw from all the people you want. You got you there. As long as you got you there, you got a problem. Okay? So you're called to impact the culture, not be impacted by the culture. And we're called, and he says, follow my teaching, Timothy. I taught you the truth. Follow my teaching and my manner of life. Act like me because I'm acting like Jesus. That's what he's saying. And this produces, watch this. Following sound doctrine produces, now even in a brainwashed culture, now I don't know if you know this or not, but you are in the process of being brainwashed. There's a media that is pumping into you false information on a continuum. Now, I wasn't talking about me brainwashing, but the media is pumping things into you that are untrue, okay? So following sound doctrine produces purpose, faith, purpose. Now let's think about that. Why are you here? Why do you have life? Is it just to make as much money as you can and have as much fun as you can have and enjoy the ride? That's the principle. That's the philosophy of a lot of people. But you realize this ride isn't that fun. Because like I mentioned before, even when you win a Super Bowl and you're at the pinnacle of what you think you are, what you can gain from this world in that sport, after that, these guys go into this downfall. And they think, is that all there is? Is this it? I've got this big car. I got this big house. I got this big boat. I got all this stuff. And people are still empty because only God can fill the void that's in a human. Only God can fill it. It can't be filled with stuff. You had such a big hole in you. You can stuff all the stuff in the world, and you cannot stuff enough in there to make yourself feel good. It takes God to change a person. It takes God to change a person. Your purpose, your faith, long-suffering. That means patient with people, macrothumia. And you know what happens? If you are patient with people, hear this, you will not be one who strikes back. If you are long-suffering, as the Bible states here, you will not be someone who strikes back. Now, in the past few months, have you seen any examples on television of people striking back at one another? You haven't seen a shred of long-suffering, have you, in this campaign? Not a shred. Not a shred. Love. Love for people. Perseverance. Patient with your circumstances. Folks, these are the characteristics of a Christ follower, not a world follower or a flesh craver. What a difference. This is not normal conduct. This is not normal conduct to have purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. This isn't the normal way we conduct ourselves. We're normally selfish. Are we not normally selfish? You fight your own. You're born again and you still fight your selfish flesh. We do. We do. That's the truth of it. This is not normal conduct. But God calls us to be more and more like Jesus. And I'll tell you, when you start developing these characteristics that I just described, they look a lot like the fruit of the Spirit, don't they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But remember the converse to that in Galatians 5:19. See if you can identify these. The flesh. Now, what is the flesh? The flesh is the unborn-again part of you. You're born again in the Spirit, But that's that part of you that is not under the control of the Spirit of God all the time. It can be, and it should be, because God has given us the strength to push the flesh down and to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But it's that part of us that keeps rising up, wanting its way. See if you can identify these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is pharmakia, drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. You ever have any of those? Ever drive on 94 and not have that? Okay. Yeah. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And the like. It's a whole, there's more. There's more to the list. And the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, and listen to this, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Danger. Danger. If that's what part of your personality is like, if that's the predominant thing that rules you, there's a caution here. Are you genuine? Are you truly born again? Doesn't mean that we're not going to slip into some of these things. Believe me, every day we kind of like wave in and out of this a little bit. But God has given us the ability to not live like the old us. His Spirit is the rod of iron up our spine that allows us to stand against any adversity and to stand against the old me. I do not have to be the old me. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. And the Bible is truth. The Bible's truth, okay? So, verse 14. Your job is verse 14. Though the world grows worse and worse, but you continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. We've learned them from the Apostle Paul, who was instructed by the Holy Spirit to pen these words, and now this is passed on to us. And now that we have information from God, we are responsible for the information that we have. Okay? That's the principle. So, in a worse and worse culture, again, that we are being inundated, overwhelmed by the media, by the government is changing right before our eyes, by the world, the flesh, and those types of things. Look at all these things that are coming at you have a single purpose, and that is deception. That is a deception to pull you away from God and to be more like them. Okay? The whole world system is geared for you to act like them, speak like them, think like them, smell like them, do everything like them. And if you do not, then you are considered strange and weird, and you might even hear intolerant and those types of things. Okay? Your goal is Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That you may walk worthy of the Lord in this worse and worse culture. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be a lot of resistance. But I'll tell you, anything good takes effort, folks. God has given us, we can't do it on our own. But God has given us His power to be able to pull this off. This miracle, it's a miracle. For you not to act like you or for me not to act like me, that's a miracle of God. And the culture needs to see the new me and that me regressing to the old me. Okay? So our goal is to increase in the knowledge of God and be more like Jesus. As American culture grows worse and worse, folks, we must be the light. We must be the salt. We must be different than the culture. Different. You must know that. When you follow a godly example, you will be at odds with the culture that is growing worse and worse. They're not going to like you. The world system does not like Christians. You know who they like better than you? Muslims, Hindus, Krishna, anything, because those are all false. Those are all false. But from the true God, they're not going to like you. They're not going to like you. They think you're crazy. But you know what we have to do? We have to deal with that. We have to deal with the world not liking us and who we are and who we represent. That's something we have to deal with. You know, Jesus gave us a heads up on this. He gave us a heads up on this. In John 15, 18 through 20, he said this. He says, if the world hates you, and in the Greek, that's a first class Greek word, meaning in that if, but since the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, listen to that, the world would love you. The world loves its own. If you were of the world, you would just fit right in. You feel like you're not fitting in as much now? As it gets darker, do you feel like it's getting tougher to fit in? It is. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, or since they persecuted me, they will persecute you. You hear that? That's the truth. Survival tip number one, follow godly examples and do not cave to the world's ways. There's no better example than Jesus. If they persecuted him, and he's our Savior, he's our Lord, he is the one that we want to model, he's the one that we want to be like. Because we follow him, they will persecute us. This can be expected. This can be expected. Okay? So, survival tip number two. Now, because you are at odds with the world and its ruler, remember, who's the ruler of this world? The god of this age? It'd be Satan. It'd be the demonic realm. He has a kingdom here, but it's short-lived. And it's coming to an end. His kingdom is coming to an end because thy kingdom will come soon. And Jesus will reign, and this whole thing will be made right. You can be sure of that. So because you are at odds with the world and its ruler, because the culture is getting worse and worse, it's going to become more and more dangerous in America. It's already dangerous throughout the world to be a Christian, to be a Christ follower. Now hear this. Survival tip number two. Know you will have to endure persecution. Verse 11 and 12. Know that you will have to endure persecution. Are you just cheery right now? Have you ever heard this before? Not very often. You won't hear it on Hillsong. You will not hear it. You will not hear it on 99% of television preachers. You won't hear it. But this is the Word of God, and this is what we're going into, and you need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for this. Verse 11 and 12, he says this. Persecutions, and he says, Timothy has witnessed this with Paul. He's witnessed this with Paul, and he says, persecutions and afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You know, he was stoned, he was beaten, he was kicked out of town. Timothy, you saw this, okay? What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Let that just echo. Echo in your mind, in the chambers of your mind. The Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. And yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Yes, and all. How many is all? All. All is all. It's not fancy. It's all. So, endure persecutions. Now, there's several things, ways of persecution presents itself. Sometimes it's overt persecution. Now remember, Satan presents himself differently depending upon what he wants to do. If he wants to do overt persecution, kill, torture, that sort of thing, he's presented as the dragon. He's presented as the dragon in Scripture. And if he wants to do something like discrimination, just kind of get you off to the side, that sort of thing, he's the beguiler. He comes as the serpent as he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. He manifests himself in two different ways, but both of them are meant to destroy. Both of them are meant to destroy. Now in America today, we are still not in the overt persecution stage. But believe me, the way this is going, that is on the horizon. In 2016, that is on the horizon. Now, I don't know if we can go back and look at this tape a few years from now and go, they were even predicting it then. It's coming on us. Persecution, overt persecution. We're not experiencing that. But you might be experiencing, because you are a Christ follower, not being getting promoted, not being acknowledged for the work that you've done, being ostracized from the culture, maybe even having to pay fines because you didn't make the cake or the flowers for the wedding that you didn't, that you couldn't because of your convictions of your faith. You're going to be labeled as intolerant, like I've said. You're going to be called discriminatory. See, when you say discrimination in this culture, that's an awful word. That's an awful thing. That's why it's used so frequently. It's going to be used against Christians. It's used against Christians. And when we teach what the Bible teaches, in many instances, it's going to be called hate speech. And it will no longer be permitted to be taught. Now, what's going to happen? We can't skip it. At least in this way we do it, you can't skip it. Okay? So you can't skip it. So there's going to be deal. You're going to be labeled intolerant. Remember, it's a world view issue. It's a world view issue. Biblical versus secular. Biblical versus secular. And less people have a biblical world view. You are the vast minority. Matter of fact, this is incredible how this is the biggest minority going. People that actually believe the Bible's true. Actually follow the teachings in this word. That's the biggest minority. Biblical versus secular. Everything in the culture is against the biblical worldview. And it starts early, folks. When your kids go to the indoctrination center in kindergarten. Okay, that's where the indoctrination starts. So you have that through the 12th grade. You know, reading, writing, and arithmetic is no longer the great priority of schools. Now look at people at jobs. Look at people that can't give change. This is $1.40. And how much change do I get? What does it say on the red? People can't read. People can't, because that's not the priority in school. The priority is to indoctrinate you to a different world belief, to a different belief system. In college, it ramps up. And then it's carried off into the workplace, and then the government now has got on board, and you know what's happening now? Sports has got on board. Now we have sports. We have Kaepernick not bowing, and now that's gone to colleges, now it's going to cheerleaders. Cheerleaders in high school. I mean, it spreads like the plague, okay? We have this happening in our culture. And guess what else is happening? If you stand up against the tsunami of world beliefs, then you might not get the Super Bowl in your state, like North Carolina. You might not have the NBA championship there. We're going to take that away from you. You're going to lose revenue because you don't believe that transgenders should be able to go to whatever bathroom they want to go into. Or you don't believe in gay marriage or that sort of thing. It's here, folks. It's here. A biblical worldview versus a secular worldview. Many today claim they are, now hear this, we are dealing with a culture that's been deceived. Many today will use the vernacular, the terminology, that I am spiritual. Have you ever heard that? Has anybody not heard that? Okay, I'm spiritual, I'm deeply, and then if they're really serious, I'm deeply spiritual. You can't challenge my spirituality. I'm deeply spiritual. And so you have people like Oprah, who's very spiritual, and you have people on The View. That's a program on TV, you know, where these ladies are on there. And then you have deeply spiritual Hillary. Hillary's spiritual. And Donald. Donald is spiritual. I hit all the high holidays. I hit all of them. What are we doing? But there's no true God sense. Their eyes and minds have been blinded by the God of this age. They are puppets for the God of this age. Hear this. Confrontation and conflict with the culture is inevitable for the true Christian. Confrontation and conflict with the culture is inevitable. School curriculums, conflict with the culture, college professors, governmental laws, workplace, it's happening right now. Has anybody experienced this? Listen, in 1983, 1983, that's like a billion years ago to some people. That was before I was even born. I can't believe it. Okay? J. Vernon McGee said this. Melvin Laird, long before he was a Secretary of Defense, made a statement in San Francisco at a Republican convention. This is 1983. I do not know the circumstances which prompted the statement, but he said, in this world, it is becoming more and more unpopular to be a Christian. Soon, it may become dangerous. 1983. And I'll tell you now today, it could be lethal to be a Christian in many parts of this world. Lethal. Today there's an overt war on truth and your faith. It's growing worse and worse. For America, the true Christian will no longer be insulated. We will no longer be insulated, folks. This battle is at our doorstep. It's at our doorstep. It is here. It's in our living. It's right. We're in it. We're in it. Put your armor on. Get ready. We're in the war. We're in the war. So, good news. The king is coming. Everything's happening on schedule. Doesn't matter if Hillary's the president or Donald is the president. Doesn't matter who's the president. Our God reigns. Okay? I tell you, Paul can endure and Timothy can endure under Nero. We can endure under Donald or Hillary. Okay? Good. Survival tip number 3. Now, this is going to be a surprise to you. Get ready. Survival tip number 3. It will get worse and worse. Yes, it will. Verse 13. How do we know these are the end times? Because Paul wrote this at a time when it was very, very bad. But he said it would get worse and worse as it gets closer to the end. As it gets closer to the end, this thing ramps up. The demonic activity really ramps up. You're going to see signs and wonders like you can't believe. Deceptive signs and wonders. People are going to be mesmerized with what's going to be happening in our world around us. But here, verse 13. But evil men and imposters. What is an imposter? Someone that looks like something genuine, but they're not. Imposters will grow worse and worse. And notice what they do. Deceiving, and being deceived. So they're deceiving people, and yet they're the ones that are deceived. Now watch this. Hear this. Things are not getting better. Don't care how many times they tell you it's getting better. I don't care how many times they say, oh, it's right on the horizon. Nirvana. Nirvana's coming. Oh, it's a new regime. Now, this thing has been going down for a long time. You know, we like to bust on Obama. This has happened way before Obama. This has been boom, 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 boom. It's always been worse and worse, but now it's getting worse and worse and worse. Is there such a word? Worser and worser? Worse, it's just getting worse. And now we're going to be hitting the worsest. Yes, the worsest. Things are not getting better. Look at America's, I'll say this again, America's better days are not ahead. I don't care how many times they tell you that. They are not ahead. Now, listen. Listen to what happened. In the 60s, we kicked God out of schools. After that, we kicked the Ten Commandments out of the public domain. Now, those two things had to be put into place before 1973 when abortion became the law of the land. God had to be kicked out of the culture, kicked out of the mainstream, kicked out of the centrality of what we are as a nation before abortion could be the law of the land. Schemes. Methodia. That's what it's called. Satan has schemes, methodia, well thought out plans to destroy people. And it's in effect here. Abortion on demand, same-sex marriage, throw Israel on the bus. You think that America can do this and be blessed? Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think we can? No, we can't. The only way we can be blessed is with revival. And that means revival means the church gets revived. That's what revival is. It isn't the world out there getting revived. It's the church getting revived. And then the church does what? The church impacts the world. That's what revival is. That's what revival is. That's what we need. This is not our best life now, folks. That's a kingdom now falsehood. It cannot be. It will get worse and worse. Look at the culture we're living in. The culture we're living in, this is what it will be like. Look at our cities. Look at our cities. Look at the cop killing. Look at the anarchy. Look at the American church. Folks, evil men are growing more and more. Evil men actively oppose righteousness. Wide open opposition, hostile. And then there's the imposter, who in my mind is just as bad as the evil guy, but he's sneaky. He's sneaky. Deceivers. They live hypocritical lives. It can happen in the general population, as we see in our political venue. And it can happen in the Christian population, or the so-called Christian population. Deceivers saying, I'm a Christian. People that join a church, get baptized. Why do they do that? Because you want to have a good image. There's friends at church. A lot of people go to church because of their friends. It's a club. We're a club. We're all together. We should have friends. But we're not here because of friends. We're here to serve the Lord Jesus. We are to bond together as the body of Christ. That's for sure. But Jesus Christ is the centrality of it. Fellowship. But oftentimes people live hidden, secret lives. Remember, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. These profess God, but do not possess God. Folks, it'll get worse and worse in the culture and in the church. The moral decline in America has been precipitous. Remember last week, and I read Michael Brown's statement. In 50 years, no culture has had a moral decline, unless it was forced on them from an external source, a volitional moral decline like ours has. In 50 years, look what's on your television today. Look what's being pumped into your minds today. It's been a precipitous fall. And without revival, America will never be the same. Now, there's still hope. There's still hope, okay? There's still hope. But it will take God to do it. It will not be the government. It will not be well-intentioned people. It will be an intervention by a holy God into the culture. So, hear this. America will not be the same. And there's a principle in Scripture I want you to hear. And while I'm saying this, if you would, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 and 15. God will give you the leaders that you want. You hear that? God will give you the leaders that you want or that you deserve as a culture. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 12, the context here is that Israel wanted a king. Now, God was supposed to be their king, but they wanted a king like everybody else. They wanted to be just like everybody else. And in verse 12, it says this, "And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king.'" They wanted a king just like all the other nations. And listen to the principle that Samuel puts out here. This was for the nation of Israel, but folks, I believe that this is a word for us today. "Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired." Okay? "And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord," this is the people, this is a message to the people, this is a message from God to the prophet to the people, "if you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God." Where was the onus put on this? It was put on the people. If the people are loyal, God will give them a loyal king. If the people of America are loyal, we'll get a loyal king. You can tell where we are on this spectrum of how God is dealing with America. Because no matter who gets elected this year, it's judgment. It is judgment on America. That is what I believe. Doesn't matter if it's a Republican, doesn't matter if it's a Democrat, it is judgment. With these two candidates, you got to be kidding me. They might come and take me anytime, but this is the worst. It's worse and worse. Have you ever seen anything like this in your life? No, you have not. You have not. And I don't know what's coming after this. Maybe I'll be in heaven by then. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you. God will give you what you want, and His hand will be against you. And folks, that's where I think we are in America today. God is giving us what we want. The vast majority want what's out there. Worse and worse. You are living to see the implosion of a nation. The political candidates today demonstrate this. Worse and worse. Deceived and being deceived. Verse 16 and 17. Survival tip number 4. As the culture gets worse and worse, where do you turn? Where do you turn? What do you do? What do you do? Well, listen to this. Turn to God and His Word. Know that you can trust God's Word. That's what we turn to. We turn to our God. We don't turn to the government. We turn to our God. Verse 16 and 17. After he talks about persevering, after he talks about persecution, after he talks about stick with the Word that has been taught, that the Scripture has been able to make you wise, and then he talks about the Scripture. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete. May be complete. Without the Word of God, you cannot be complete as a Christian. That is why you can't get pablum every week. That is why you must be in the Word every week. You cannot be complete and be able to survive in this chaos of worse and worse. You must be immersed in this, thoroughly equipped for every good work, ready to face a corrupt culture. Now, with that stated, number 1, in a worse and worse culture, I want you to know where to turn. Psalm 46 is a psalm that is worth memorizing, at least the first couple verses. God, now look at it, when it gets bad, turn to God. God is our refuge and strength. He is our shelter, a very present help in times of trouble. In other words, you cannot get enough ammo stored up in order to stop the hordes from coming to get you, nor should you as a Christian. You can't store up enough food for yourself, because when everybody's starving, what are you supposed to do as a Christian? You share. You share. Okay. A very present help in times of trouble. It's not a compound mentality. It is a God will protect me mentality. Therefore, we will not fear. Just say that in your own mind. Therefore, we will not fear. We will resist fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I don't care how worse and worse and worse it gets. No fear, power, love, sound mind. Even though, watch the calamities. Watch the calamities, the natural calamities, by the way, which I think are a judgment also. Even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, look at calamities, people, everything is a mess that we're living in. Skip over to verse 7. Hear this. We need to hear this. The Lord of hosts is with us. That is Jehovah Sabaoth. The God of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 10, this is what we are to do. God is our strength. He is the one that is all powerful. But notice what your responsibility is. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Folks, I'll tell you, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's where we turn. That's where we turn. We don't bite our nails. How you doing? Look at your nails. How you doing in this mess? No, let your nails grow. and rest in God. Our part is to do this. Read His Word, study His Word, and meditate on His Word, and by the way, obey it and live it out. In a world of lies and deception and chaos, God's Word is truth. Why? Because He said in John 17:17, Thy Word is truth. In the chaos and the confusion of life, folks, have a truth anchor. Have a truth. Have something you can just throw your life into and hook onto, because you're going to need to survive. A truth anchor. God, through His Word, brings peace, folks, in the storm. Wherever Jesus enters, He brings calm in the chaos. And He can do that in your life. When you feel like you're spinning out of control, allow God to enter into your chaos and bring peace. Nowhere to go for truth. Folks, we have a treasure. We have a treasure in our hands. We have the Word of God in our hands. It is a treasure of truth. Know this. All Scripture is God-breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for rebuking, reproofing. It is valuable for correction, instruction. The result is that you will be equipped for how many good works? Every good work. You'll be prepared to face this world that is around you. If you are skipping this in your day, then you're not ready to face the worse and worse in your day that's coming. This is the ammo that you need. This isn't optional anymore. This isn't Leave It to Beaver, Ozzie and Harriet land. Or whatever your generation was. Might have got bad then, but anyway. All Scripture is God-breathed. This does not just contain the Word of God. I think it's in here someplace. Some of this is the Word, and some of it isn't. It just depends on what I think. No, this is the Word of God. It doesn't become the Word of God under certain circumstances. This is God's Word, and it's important because it expresses His will for your life. That's why it is important. In the chaos, a true Christian has no option. You must be immersed in the Word of God. To be complete and equipped for every good work, you must be immersed in the Word of God. To survive and thrive in a godless culture, you must be what? Immersed in the Word of God. Yes. We must turn to God and turn to His Word in this chaos. It is a survival must. Now, in conclusion, hear this. As it grows worse and worse, as worse and worse increases, know that we are living in an unparalleled times, worse and worse times. Chaos abounds. Chaos abounds, and the love of many has grown cold. Do you realize that? The love of many has grown cold. Man is very rapidly losing his love for his fellow man. And it's being displayed all around us. Wars and rumors of wars abound. And I don't know if you realize this, Russia putting a missile system that is very advanced into Syria is a serious escalation. You're not hearing about this very much because we want politics to be front and center. Russia is on the prowl. Russia has put in Syria weapons that can shoot down American planes quickly. This thing could escalate very rapidly. Iran is actively shooting at our destroyers. And we're doing, oh no, you better not do that. Shame, shame, double shame, everybody knows your name. You know, that's what we're doing as a country. Famines, earthquakes, the chaos is increasing, okay? Natural disasters, calamity seems to be the norm. What do? You get up in the morning, you click on AOL or whatever your site is, you're looking to see what disaster has occurred next in America. Children can no longer play in their neighborhoods. We used to have pickup games. We would go down to the field. We could walk down to the field, miles from our house, have a pickup game. You can't do that now. You don't know if your kid's coming home. You got to have adults there. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. The church has blended with the world. Fear and uncertainty permeate the culture. Your world is changing. America is changing. It has been getting worse and worse. These tips for survival are essential. Let's review them one more time. Survival tip number one, follow a godly example. Not a false teacher with ear-tickling news. Whenever you have someone saying, oh, it's going to be great, it's going to be wonderful, everything's going to be better, and by the way, whenever they say that, the thing right after that is, send me your seed money. Send me your seed money and everything's going to be great in your world. Yeah, well, you send me some of your seed money. Reverse it. Don't follow the charlatans. Follow a godly example. Follow the Lord Jesus. He's our model. Follow someone like Paul and his teaching or John and his teaching. That's our model. Survival tip number two, as worse and worse increases, expect this. Conflict and confrontation with the culture is inevitable. Like those before us, we will be called to endure persecution. At some level, I'm hoping that doesn't get like the ISIS folks and that sort of thing. Don't know how bad it's going to get, but we are more and more being marginalized in this culture. And when this election comes through, depending on who is elected and what Supreme Court justices get put into place, this country could change drastically. Drastically. Your Christian values and your Christian liberties and freedom will be more restricted. Your truth message will be perceived as hate speech. Survival tip number three, as worse and worse increases, realize it. Things will not get better. Things will get worse and worse. This isn't our best life now. We've kind of beat that to death. Realize that. Survival tip number four, though, is something that is very important in all of this. As it grows worse and worse, in the chaos, folks, there's hope. Turn to God and His Word for strength and do not fear. And I would suggest this. Also, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some people have done. For as the days grow worse and worse, we will need the comfort of one another to help us through this. I might be down one day and need you to pick me up, and you may be down and need me to pick you up. We need each other like never before. Stay together. Stay connected. Folks, don't fear. Fear is not trusting God. Do not go into that venue. The fear of man is a snare, but those who trust in the Lord will be kept safe. That's who we trust. Jesus came to earth, folks, to enter the chaos. He didn't come into some pristine world. He came into Roman-occupied Israel. And those Romans did not like those Jews. That's what he came into. And he came to bring peace and calm and hope out of the chaos. Never forget, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. I don't care what happens. I will not fear. The God of armies is with us, folks. The Creator of the universe is with us. For weary mom and dad, notice I put mom first. I think moms in this culture have the hardest job in the world. They have to raise kids. They have to work. They have to try to navigate this culture. It is tough. It is tough. Grandmas and grandpas, daughters and son, Christian workers bombarded by worse and worse every day. For you who are feeling weary, out of gas, discouraged, what's the use? Ready to throw your hands up. I want you to know that God is for you. Listen to this verse. God is with you, and He knows right where you are. He loves you implicitly. That is what's wonderful about our God. He knows what you're going through every day in the workplace. He knows what you're going through in whatever family struggle you're dealing with. He knows whatever your health struggle is. He knows your financial struggle. He is with you. He says He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Listen to this word in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved, this is Paul speaking. through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's talking to the beloved, the Christians, the church in Corinth. Brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you are doing is not in vain, kinos, worthless. It is not. What you are doing is valuable. You holding firm to your faith is valuable in the eyes of God. You have, when you're standing against the majority in your workplace, the majority in your family, because families are becoming fractured because people believe in Jesus and cannot follow the precepts that the family wants to follow that are of the world. When you stand and you feel all this oppression coming at you, remember this. Behind the scenes is the applause of heaven. The applause of heaven saying, praise, praise you, God, that you gave them the strength to stand. And you are a testimony to the angelic realm, was actually watching this whole thing being played out. They're having their minds blown. This is a reality. This is a reality. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, these are survival tips in a culture getting worse and worse. God is our strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to study your word. And God, I'm so thankful that there's hope because of you. It doesn't matter which way the world is going. We know that it's going to get worse. We know that Satan is going to give his last all-out effort here with the Antichrist and Mark of the Beast and killing and murdering and all that stuff, deception. We know that's coming. It's in your word. It's truth. But God, we also know the end of the story, that our God wins and his people win. And our God will reign one day on this earth with full control. He's sovereign. There's nothing out of control that's going on here. We realize that, Father, that you have everything under control. So we trust that. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. And our face is on you. Not on what's going on in the culture. Not on all the fear-mongering that's going on in the culture. Our eyes are stayed on you, our God. You are our refuge and strength. I ask for each person here to be filled with your spirit, to have the rod of iron up their spine, to be able to stand like they've never stood before against the winds of adversity. Our God reigns. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.